or noise. It continued its methodical way through those gazillion permutations as it filed through early boarding, took its seat in first class, and selected a random movie on its monitor. It nodded for champagne and made rote responses to the attendant's rote queries. If it spent 1 second on each possible combination of the 31,433 digits, it would take about as long as the Roman Empire had lasted. The changeling did have the time, but it was hoping that some sort of pattern would emerge long before that. It had no seating companion, so the time went quickly, in a blur of ones and zeros. It came out of its five-hour reverie when the landing gear hit the tarmac in Hawaii. First class exited democratically, allowing one hoi polloi interleaved between each of the elite, and the changeling entered the airport with a neutral expression, looking around with no particular interest, just a guy changing planes, who had to go through the inconvenience of passport check and baggage transfer. There was nothing unusual at first, but then he saw that every U.S. citizen checkpoint was protected by a large policeman, standing between passport control and the luggage check. Maybe they were always there. He didn't remember them from earlier flights, when he was going back and forth between Australia and the States. It would be better not to take the chance. There were two bathrooms, for the convenience of people who were willing to take a later place in line in exchange for comfort. The changeling angled toward the men's. Its timing was good. As it entered the privacy baffle between the corridor and the men's room, an attendant with a cart was backing out of a utility room. After a glance confirming that there were no witnesses, it covered the man's mouth and nose and shoved him back into the room. It punched him on the chin just hard enough to daze him and slapped on the light. It was a room about the size of a walk-in closet with racks of supplies. It plucked a roll of wide duct tape and carefully pressed a piece of it over the man's mouth and squares over each eye after capturing his retinal pattern. Then it undressed him and put on his uniform and bound him tightly with tape. It took his fingerprints, studied him for a moment, and then turned out the light and concentrated on becoming him. It wasn't too painful, skin color and facial structure. Then it pushed its way out behind the cart, leaving the door locked. How much time did it have? If those cops were waiting for Mr. Daniel, it was only minutes. It hesitated by a door that said, "Authorized personnel only," trying to imagine what might be behind the sign. It could be the place where janitors went to catch a smoke, or it might be full of nervous security types. Turning the cart around, it headed back toward customs. There were 6 lanes open for U.S. citizens and 3 for foreigners, and one marked employees. It got halfway through the short lane, and somebody shouted, "Hey, asshole!" It stopped and turned around. A fat cop said something angry. It was in Hawaiian, unfortunately. It shrugged, hoping that not everyone who looked Hawaiian spoke Hawaiian. "You know the drill," he said. "Where the hell you going?" "Just out to the car," the changeling said. "My dinner is in the cooler." "Yeah, liquid dinner. Just leave the goddamn cart on this side, okay?" The changeling trudged back and parked it out of the way. Once outside, of course, the uniform made its wearer stand out rather than blend in. It would be conspicuous to hail a cab or get on a bus. Bad planning not to carry along Daniel's clothes. It would take about 20 minutes to grow inconspicuous clothes and discard the janitor's. Too long. Taking a chance, it ducked into a souvenir shop and bought fairly modest tourist clothes, Hawaiian shirt, Bermuda shorts, and flip-flops. It changed in the men's room, also changing its skin to pale white, and carried the uniform out in the shop's paper bags. In the line at the cab stand, it started mapping out its strategy. It told the cab to take it to the downtown Hilton, but paid attention for the last mile, looking for a more seedy place. The crossed palms looked suitably run down. It paid off the cab with an unremarkable tip and walked straight through the Hilton lobby. On the way back to the crossed palms, it threw the janitor's uniform into a dumpster. The chain-smoking woman at the desk was glad to give James Baker a room for 3 days, paid in advance with cash, no ID or luggage. The room was musty and dark, and